Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Take a look over your shoulder. Watch words get much older. Life has a way of humbling you down. Thought you already knew it. Took a turn, then you blew it. Life has a way of humbling you down. Oh, I think I already know everything. So I think there ain't room to grow everything. As I stare at the ceiling in an abandoned building, life had a way of knocking me around. And my children still look up to me while their stomachs on empty. Oh, I need an angel to fall on me now. So I thought I already knew everything. So I thought there wasn't room to grow everything.
Just when I'm
The buds are in harmony. Listen, these divers, they are in so much peace and harmony. If you are watching this video, this is your confirmation. Your heart, soul, mind will all be at peace. Just give thanks. They will find the peace they so long for. I want to remind you, don't allow people to steal your inner peace, because your inner peace is the highest form of wealth. Slow motion this side. The cat down the road told me, you have a difficult person and toxic person in your life right now. Is that true? Yes. Okay. Do you have someone who's getting under your skin? They really know how to piss you off. They really know how to get you mad. They really know how to make you angry. When you're around them, it feels so toxic. They're difficult to get along with. Well, alas, I'm going to help you out. 7 ways emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult and toxic people. We got a whole lot to talk about, these divers. Peace. Infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers. We are out here in the heart of nature. Baby, it's a beautiful day. I'm just, breathing in that grass, prana, baby. Raising the frequency. Raising the vibration. Take that, take that, take that. Good off energy I'm sending you. We got the sun coming out. Thank you. That's a great sign. There's no place I'd rather be than with a bird, bees, leaves, and trees. That's right, deep divers. I'm in a good mood today because I chose to be. I don't allow people to interfere with my peace of mind. Why? Because it's way too precious. But a lot of people are going through it. A lot of people have a difficult person in their life, a toxic person. Do you? Put your hand up if you do. Put your hand up if you've ever encountered a really toxic person, difficult person, and you're still thinking about them. Let me tell you this. What is it like inspiring so many people? It's beautiful. Because people often ask me that. They're like, Ralph, how has it been for you? In the shopping mall, the shopping center, someone said, oh my gosh, Infinite Waters diving deep. I said, hey. They said, Ralph, I love what you're doing, inspiring so many people. But they're like, Ralph, I could never do that. Like, how do you deal with the toxic people on the internet? The difficult people. And I reply to them that I have a very positive space on Infinite Waters, and therefore your vibe attracts your tribe. And when you send out good energy, it always comes back. But at the same time, yes, when you first start being a public figure, sharing with the world, you are going to encounter so many difficult people, toxic people. We ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello? And the only thing that's going to get you through it is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is mastering your emotions, which is the energy in motion, discerning between feelings, mastering, controlling your internal feelings so they don't govern you. There is EQ, there is IQ. EQ is more powerful than IQ because interacting with other human beings. But you see, a lot of us, we meet people and they're toxic, they're difficult. At the same time, we still don't really know how to deal with that. But if you learn how to become more emotionally intelligent, there are ways to deal with difficult people and toxic people. So when I first started even sharing on the internet, there were a lot of people toxic and difficult, like in the first year of YouTube. They were saying things in the comments, and I realized that, oh, they're trying to bring me down. But you see, when someone is trying to bring you down, it means they're already beneath you. Slow motion this side. And I just kept doing it, these divers, and then they just left. And I reminded myself to always start the videos with peace. And I kid you not, just look at all the comments of any one of my videos. You will see 90% good energy, 95% good energy. There might be 5% of difficult people, toxic people, but the majority of people that come to Infinite Waters are coming in peace, love, and they're raising the frequency. Seven ways emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult and toxic people. Number one, they do not mimic, copy, or imitate. They do not mimic, copy, or imitate. They do not mimic the behavior of that toxic or difficult person. They do not imitate the behavior of that toxic or difficult person. They do not copy the behavior of that toxic or difficult person, because imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So when someone treats us in a bad way, and I tell you, how someone treats you is their karma. How you respond is yours. But if someone gets on your nerves, they sometimes, you can feel like they've disrespected you or they're bringing you bad energy. Many times, if they are like really mean to us or moody or angry or just the energy is off, sometimes we actually embody that same energy we're trying to get away from. Do you see? Right? We embody that same energy of the toxic person just to get rid of them. They shout at us, we shout back. No. Emotionally intelligent people copy the behavior of the toxic or difficult person. They are tuned into the peace, the inner peace in here. They tune in to tune all of that out. Slow motion this side. And they are always, emotionally intelligent people are always learning how to master their emotions. Right? And we do this by staying calm. When you are calm, even the storm gets terrified. Ooh, I like that. Even the difficult person gets confused. How come she's so calm? She's so calm. They're not even flinching. I'm getting mad that they're so calm. And that's what emotionally intelligent people do. They've learned this inner peace by coming into nature. Very difficult to piss me off, deep divers, because I'm an alchemist. I just smile at you. And inhale the good shit. Exhale the bullshit. The second way emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult or toxic people, they are aware of their triggers and they work on them. They are aware of their triggers and they work on them. If someone triggers you that you call a toxic person or a difficult person, let's just say they say something to you and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. Now you're worked up, right? Once again, whoever angers you controls you. They know how to piss you off. They know that it's going to make you mad. They know how to get underneath your skin. So you have to know, being emotionally intelligent, what emotionally intelligent people do to deal with difficult or toxic people is that they are aware of the triggers and they work on them. For instance, let me use myself as a case study. First year of YouTube, sometimes people would say, I don't like that guy. And I would say, oh my gosh, what did I do? Some people would say, you're boring. And I would actually react in the comment section like, no. I had to remind myself they were triggering me. And it was all because I didn't see my own worth at the time. Now I know what I'm doing is beautiful. I love what I'm doing. I'm confident in what I'm doing. And therefore, you have to learn that emotionally intelligent people, they are aware of their triggers. Someone at your workplace can say, oh, I don't like what you're wearing. That might trigger you. But if you are happy with what you're wearing, it shouldn't matter. So when you know your triggers, you have to know, because everyone has a boiling point, right? And emotionally intelligent people know what triggers them, and they work on these triggers. You see, if you put a glass of water that's half full on the table, bang it down, the water is going to shoot up. Water will not shoot up if there is nothing inside. Slow motion this side. And this is why we have to thank emotionally. We have to thank difficult people. We have to thank toxic people because they help us work on ourselves. I've got a whole chapter on that. Check out the book, Feel Alive by Ralph Smart on Amazon and at ralphsmart.com/the book. We work on ourselves. We know our triggers and we work on them. So we're no longer triggered. You see, if they triggered you, it's because you still have lessons to learn in a toxic or difficult person. Slow motion this side. The third way to deal with toxic, the third way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people, they are selective with whom they share their energy with. Deep dive, everyone deserves to be in your presence because you are so marvelous, so grand and luxurious. But everyone deserves the time of day. Not everyone deserves your energy. I told you, stop allowing people who do nothing for you to take such a large space in your mind. Slow motion this side. So they are selective. Emotionally intelligent people do not share their energy with people who are not worthy to receive it. You don't throw pearls at swine. So they are wise enough to know to say, actually, I see this person is a toxic person, is a difficult person. Right now, we don't have to hang out. I'm going to chill with a cat down the road and find peace. I'm going to connect with people who make me feel like the moon, who make me feel like the sun, who make me feel like sunlight, right? What is the fourth way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people? They transmute the energy. They transform the energy. Emotionally intelligent people are master alchemists. So, for instance, if someone is a difficult person around you or a toxic person around me, what do? I just smile back. What do? I just start, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. What do? I just say, let's do a little samba, baby. They get confused. What do? I say, take that. Good ass. You see, a lot of toxic and difficult people, all they need is a hug. So you've got to send them some compassion. It doesn't mean you have to be silent. You can actually express how you feel, but you can do it in a compassionate way. So now what they're doing no longer affects your internal condition. Be an alchemist. That's what emotionally intelligent people do. Regardless of what difficult or toxic people are doing to them, they are choosing to feel this inner peace at all times, because your inner peace is the highest form of wealth. The fifth way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people, they focus on what grows them. They let go of what no longer serves them. If that's a difficult person, a toxic person, we're not focusing on you. You see, there's something called the 5x5 rule. As a psychologist, it goes like this. If a toxic or difficult person, if the interaction with them is not going to matter 5 years down the line, don't spend 5 minutes obsessing about it. It's really not that important. Why are you allowing a difficult person, a toxic person, to take such a large space in your mind? You're waking up thinking of this toxic or difficult person. You see, emotionally intelligent people do not do that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Why? Because I'm too busy focusing on people who help me grow. I'm too busy focusing on people who bring me good energy and I give them good energy. I don't have time to think about toxic people, difficult people, right? That's what emotionally intelligent people do. The sixth way emotionally intelligent people deal with difficult or toxic people, they cut off the food source. No food here. 7-day vegan challenge. No mangoes for you. No grapes for you. No pineapples. I'm so sorry. You see, if you have a difficult person in your life, someone who's irritating you, a toxic person, many times it's because we're also feeding into their hands. We're feeding into them. And they need our attention to keep on being more difficult or toxic. Let me give you an example of what emotionally intelligent people do. Being on YouTube, sharing with the world, when you are at the top, YouTube Gold Award, inspiring millions of people, you're going to have come out of the woodwork and make videos about you. I've had it from the beginning of YouTube. But what happened? I cut off the food source. I didn't reply to any of them. And guess what? They ran away. And this is what emotionally intelligent people do. You see, sometimes silence is also an answer. Slow motion this side. Say it again, Ralph. I said, sometimes silence is also an answer. And emotionally intelligent people know how to be silent, know when to be silent, and they know when to open their mouth and say, no, that's enough, right? And you have to learn that balance. Emotionally intelligent people know that. But emotionally intelligent people cut off the food source. They don't entertain nonsense. If you are not helping me evolve, you're a distraction. Bye. And that's how they deal with toxic and difficult people. If you are not helping me evolve, you're a distraction. If you're not wishing me well, supporting me, we don't need to hang out. Because there are people who do, and we need to hang out instead. So learn that emotionally intelligent people have learned to cut off the food source. They don't feed into drama. They don't feed into the trap of difficult people that difficult people set and toxic people set, okay? The seventh way emotionally intelligent people deal with toxic and difficult people, they focus on where they're going and not on who is holding them back. They focus where they need to be instead of being caught up in this traffic jam, because that's what happens. When we're in the presence of a toxic person, a difficult person, it wastes time. You're arguing, going back and forth. In that same time, you could have started your business, grown your business, had a website. You could have helped someone. You could have chilled out with that down the road. Emotionally intelligent people say, this is not going anywhere. I'm not going to waste my time with a difficult person, a toxic person, when I could be making love with someone I love. Hey, they focus on moving forward. Emotionally intelligent people focus on moving forward. They do not focus on one individual who's holding them back because they realize that is not important. Emotionally intelligent people have the P word, perspective. They can see the bird by you. They have a big, broad perspective. They actually, this person who's difficult and toxic is so small in my reality because right now I'm focused on big. bigger and better things for me, and that's why I'm just saying, hell, so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? Hey. I'm just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Shout out to everyone who's been getting the wonderful good ass prana shirt. RLSmart.com/clothes, breadshirt.com if you're in America. And if you're a sexy ass model, woo, with a whole lot of heart who wants to be an Infinite Waters model, you're not difficult or toxic, let me know why. Add me on Instagram, at Infinite Waters, at RLSmart, and Facebook, at RLSmart, at Infinite Waters, and Snapchat is that. Good ass prana. Your inner peace is the highest form of wealth. Do not allow one person that's difficult or toxic to interfere with your peace of mind. And emotionally intelligent people know that. I love all of you. Deep diamonds. Have a beautiful day. Peace. All right, guys. Royalty, 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 guys. Thank you guys for tuning into another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio, guys. I'm your host, Haru 7 Oracle. And, yeah, Ralph said a lot. That's Infinite Waters, guys. Go please like and subscribe. Infinite Waters on YouTube. And as you guys know, my video credits are going to be in the show notes, guys. Enhancing Awareness Radio, Motivational Classroom, Spiritual Soul Sunday is a classroom segment, guys, where I pull different clips and different topics. But on today, on Spiritual Soul Sunday, you guys, I entitled this one, The Spiritual Narcissistic Personality and Its Shape-Shifting Effects, okay? So this is a part of a series that I am doing when it comes to the narcissistic personality. You know what I mean? As Erykah Badu said, right? Let's listen to what she says.
And when I say good, I don't mean perfect. I mean that you're aware.
And when you say good, you mean positive.
I mean aware. Right. No good if you're not aware, even if you're positive. You can be emulating something positive. That's no good. You know, it's good when you're aware. I'm aware that I'm bad. I'm aware that I'm happy. I'm aware that I'm sad. I'm aware that I'm, you know, old. I'm aware that I'm new. You know, when you're aware, that's good. You know, that can take you to everything.
So, you know, Erykah speaks, right? But to be aware, right? So that's why I entitled this platform Enhancing Awareness Radio, because it's very great to, you know, be aware, guys. Please go back in our archives and check out a lot of the podcasts that I did. I had a whole team on here at one point to where they were doing different, many different segments, many different things, guys. So in the archives, there is a lot of book information. Well, since I'm by myself now, I have been kind of resulting to pulling different, you know, lectures and kind of putting together to tell a ultimate story, right? So, 7 ways emotionally intelligent people deal with difficulty. And that's what Ralph Smart was speaking about, because as we go into the topic of today, the narcissistic personality, guys, I always like to say, you know, what is it about that personality trait that we may attract? You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. I'm not one for, like, blaming people, you know, pointing a finger and just blaming, like, okay, what part of me, right? What part of me is attracting this, you know? And some people may be victims, you know. But there was that I learned in schooling one time, and it was, like, the cost-benefit analysis. And what it is that, what is it about us, or what is it about you, or what personality trait do you have that you attract, you know, like a moth to a flame, right? So I'll give an example. An example is you may be a deeply empathic person to where somebody who is narcissistic and they you know, predators no prey. You know what I'm saying? So you may benefit because, oh my God, I must help him. You know, that's the cost, you know, That's the benefit. Excuse me. You know what I'm saying? That's the benefit. You're an empathetic person. I'm doing this off the top of my head, guys. So you're an empathetic person, and that's the benefit of it because you want to say you want to be Captain Save-A-Ho. You want to save the, quote, narcissistic personality. But what is the cost? See, and the cost is emotionally drained. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not yourself anymore. You know what is the cost of you being an empathetic person, and the cost is that you have attracted that energy, you know what I'm saying, to you, right? So it's not always about playing the victim, okay, as far as in that aspect. So in this series, guys, I have done the different rate, go in archives and check out, type in the Hanson Awareness Radio, narcissistic, and you should be able to pull up. Or you can even just scroll through the pages and see. It was all done this year. So there are two aspects, right, that I want to kind of point, that I want to add in addition to what we have already been talking about. So that's the spiritual. Hold on. Let me find it. That's the spiritual aspect. And remember, guys, my video credits will also be in the show notes. If you need to contact me for anything, it will also be in the show notes. For some reason, my thing isn't working, but that's okay. So, yeah. I might have to play a song for you guys and then come back. All right, yeah. Okay. So yeah, guys, the spiritual narcissistic personality, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, interesting, right? And then also I wanted to touch on, you know, how shape-shifting, you know what I'm saying? Shape-shifting can also be, you know, a key factor in that as well. So let's see. All right. So let's see. Let's hear about the spiritual narcissistic personality.
Hello, powerful galactic beings. Welcome back to another video. A spiritual narcissist is someone who appears to be very spiritual, but has no true personal development or deep knowledge of any spiritual tradition. They use spirituality as a way to make themselves feel special or better than others, when in reality they are really lonesome and looking for narcissistic supply. A person who uses spirituality, esotericism, or religiousness to manipulate and exploit others. Most spiritual narcissists are covert narcissists. Overt narcissists express their narcissism through a belief that they are special and exceptional. Covert narcissists often express their narcissism through a belief that they belong to an organization or movement, that is, a religious, spiritual, or esoteric movement that's special and exceptional. When you encounter people who publicly and frequently claim to be any of the following, or claim to have accomplished any of the following, without having any objective evidence to support their claims, consider it a red flag that you might be dealing with a covertly narcissistic personality. These are the spiritual or esoteric identities covertly narcissistic personalities are currently claiming to be: empath, super empath, intuitive empath, hiaka empath, twin flame, spiritual warrior, light healer, energy healer, enlightened or spiritual god or goddess. They even claim to be very clairvoyant or clairsentient. Spiritual narcissism is much more subtle and sneaky than narcissistic personality disorder. It can strike all of us before we even realize our inner peacock has been roused. Simply stated, spiritual narcissism is the unconscious use of spiritual practice and insight to increase rather than decrease self-importance. Spiritual narcissism is the kind of unstructured rationalization that leads people to believe whatever is most convenient for their self-image at the moment. This is the person who becomes a Catholic because they want an excuse to yell at sinners and then claim only God can sit in judgment when they get caught sinning. Spiritual narcissism describes narcissists who attempts to use metaphysics to validate their behavior. This is a person who can't just do things. They have to invent a justification why the things they're doing are so right. They are the most righteous things anyone could ever do, which is why they're doing them. This can also describe the flavor of spirituality, in which the person petitions the deity for direct intervention or otherwise positions themselves at the center of the universe of their religion. Narcissists lack genuine personalities, so they mirror their targets. If you find you have so much in common with a new person, your likes are their likes, and your dislikes are coincidentally their dislikes as well, raise your antennas. They may be mirroring you. This is the soulmate's hook. You will also notice that they will spend more time telling you who they are rather than showing you. As time goes on, you will notice the words they use to describe themselves do not fit their personality at all. But they will fit yours because you are not healed. Passive-aggressive behavior and irrational and unexplained anger are also major red flags. Pay attention to how a person treats you the first time you say no or when things don't go their way. If they give you the silent treatment, grow cold, and pull away, do not overlook it. Most importantly, if someone pulls away or goes silent after you set a boundary and never pursue them, this is how they groom you to be the chaser in the relationship. It's emotional abuse and manipulation. Pay close attention to people who portray themselves as victims. Nothing is ever their fault. Everyone, including the family pet, has done them wrong. All of their exes are crazy and mistreated them. They are great, but no one appreciates said greatness. Simply put, it is not good. No one should have a laundry list of bad experiences. If they do, run, because they are the common denominator. Narcissists tend to have a history of failed or short-term relationships. Believe it or not, it's hard for narcissists to find people to deal with them long-term due to their instability and poor behavior. They don't have anyone they are genuinely close to. This is due to their inability to bond and form true attachments to people. Their relationships are shallow and based on surface level. They will refer to someone as their best friend, but you will notice they barely speak, or that the person is never really around them, or only shows up when it's time to party, and so on. They may also speak down on poorly of said best friend behind their back. Narcissists tend to be condescending, two-faced, and downright mean. Based on my experience, they cannot talk about deep subjects like fears or emotions, or how a situation truly made them feel, or what their childhood was like in detail. They don't want to go there. It is because they can't. They don't know themselves well enough. They can't connect on a deeper level. They also live in a world of dishonesty. They are very dishonest with themselves about who they truly are. Underlying issues between narcissists and their mothers, abuse, neglect, don't get along, and so on, seems to be common. People that who have displayed strong narcissistic tendencies all had bad relationships with their mothers. Their mothers also displayed strong narcissistic traits. There are healthy adults who have toxic mothers. However, if you are spotting several red flags in an individual, including this one, and pay closer attention, if you ever feel the need to ask yourself, who in the hell is this person, you will know you may be dealing with a narcissist. Narcissists are painfully inconsistent. Their pathology and dysfunction is consistent. None of what they do makes sense. What they do and say in the beginning will never add up once the newness wears off. They leave you with tons of unanswered questions. You don't feel that way when you are interacting with other people. Most people are consistent in their thoughts and behavior. You feel a comfortable familiarity with time. Narcissists cannot provide that feeling because they lack a true identity. Mirroring you, they get bored with pretending. You will see you have no clue as to who he or she is. When you spend too much time around a narcissist, they will invariably reduce you down to their low vibrational level. Everything the narcissist does, All the narcissist's harm inflicted upon you is done to protect their delicate ego and obtain supply, of course. It may seem the narcissist actively wants to harm you out of spite, but that is usually not the case. Typically, narcissists harm you to protect themselves, although it may be hard to see any real distinction. Maybe you live in the same household as a narcissist, so any sign they see you may be chirpier than them, more uplifted, at a given moment, prompts them to use a weapon in their armory to cause your energy to crash. Maybe they blame you for something. Maybe they stare at you as if you have done something wrong, but don't tell you what. Maybe they poke at your badly resolved issues or past traumas, or any other trigger of yours, to cause you anxieties or even to get a rise out of you. You may notice you have more demonic thoughts when spending much time around the narcissist. You may find you get mental flashes of skulls or other things which you have seen in past horror movies. You may find new or old nightmares recurring. Narcissists are accompanied by bad entities. If you spend too much time around them, these entities end up becoming your company too. Narcissism is a spiritual problem, and narcissists are the center of their own universes. They are the focal point around which all else revolves. They think they are more special than others, more entitled, more grand, more beautiful, more deserving. Whether or not they have and own everything, they should have every last thing. If anyone else has anything at all, the narcissist is bitterly envious, for the thing should be his or hers. He or she is the only one who counts in their own inner world. Others exist for the narcissist's service, pleasure, and use. If others have something the narcissist covets, be it a material or spiritual commodity, then the narcissist must get it out of them, and if the thing cannot be gotten out of them, then it must be destroyed, for every desirable thing in the narcissist's universe must belong to the narcissist. Once any other no longer serves the purposes of the narcissist, once it has been mined of valuables, it must be destroyed, for the narcissist cannot have others owning his property. The other must be so destroyed that either no others want it, or it is dead and disposed of. The narcissist has no feelings about his or her destruction of others, or their suffering while being destroyed, because he or she has no empathy. Others are not real to him or her. For any truly, deeply feeling, empathetic person, I think it is simply inconceivable in the grand scheme of things. The human monstrosity described this above as the result of a parental accident, or even abuse. Is it a coincidence that the entity described as a narcissist is the same entity described as other named evil entities in other holy texts? These recorded testimonies, thousands of years old, believed to be the inspired word of God, were recorded in far-flung corners of the world, especially before the age of mass communication. Yet all tell the same story of an evil entity, a prince of darkness, who opposes the Most High Creator, good, truth, light, love, and endeavors to darken the hearts of all men and women for eternity, who wishes to dethrone the Most High Creator and rule over the hearts of men and women in God's place. If you don't believe in God, you can change this term to good, and the words speak of the same truth. There are some truth in both perspectives. The child may be abused in the home. There may be a psychological adaptation made as a means of coping with the abuse. Or there may not be. There is scientific evidence now that the brains of narcissists lack the necessary development to support empathy. I don't believe narcissism develops due to an accident of birth. In my view, the egg comes before the chicken. I believe all material realities are germinated in the spiritual world. Humans don't create spiritual reality. Spiritual reality creates humans. A narcissist is a spiritual reality before he is a material, human narcissist. From a spiritual perspective, this does not mean that narcissists are eternally damned. It means they made a wrong choice in the eons long before the human journey to perfection. They chose the quick, fraudulent path. They made this choice prior to their human births. At least in some cases, they met auspicious circumstances once here. Destiny and fate are intertwined. Also, we all choose wrongly before we develop the moral fiber to choose rightly. We all travel the same path with our individual variations. If we have the strength to make good choices, it is because we developed that strength through suffering the karma of our previous wrong choices. Is it possible for a narcissist to be eternally damned? Of course, no, because their possibility of redemption unless they strive towards the light of truth, goodness, and love. I hope this video was helpful to you. See you in the next video.
Wow, guys. Listen, as he was talking, I was like, what do you mean he's talking about me? There is a lot of stuff is past tense, though, but it made me think, as I was listening, it made me think about just what I was saying at the top of the show, was that, you know, what parts of ourselves are attracted to, you know, the narcissistic personality. And most times, okay, more often than not, openly admittedly, right, is that we have to take accountability for the part that we play. And a lot of times we play a huge role, and a lot of times we may project narcissistic, you know, traits within our very own selves, you guys. You know what I'm saying? So that can be kind of a mirror or even a trigger, you know, for someone who is just abusive out of spite versus, you know, someone who just has these traits unaware, you know, of the things that they are projecting, you know what I'm saying, most often on a subconscious level. So, again, it's just awareness and even awareness and accountability. All right, that was good. Wow. Yeah, that was good, guys. In this series, you know, I didn't really resonate with a lot of it, but I have the spiritual narcissistic personality. I can never say that word right. But I have done things, you know what I'm saying, that fits that mold. You know, and it was intentional, you know what I'm saying? But some of the things, you know, as far as boundaries are concerned, boundaries are very important when it comes to these personality traits, guys. All right, so the second part of this is the shape-shifting part that I wanted to listen to in regards to this topic, guys. So let's see. I'm very excited to listen to this one because I have not listened to it because I wanted to listen to it with you guys, right? But, yeah, I found the title to be interesting, and I loved the lady.
Okay,
yeah. So, well, I love the personality. Okay, so let's see what she has to say about shape-shifting when it comes to the narcissistic personality.
Hello, Chainbreakers. So today we are talking about narcissists are shapeshifters, all right? That is what they are. And we know that the Bible tells us Satan masquerades as angel of light, as an angel of light, all right? That's what him and his forces do, all right? And that's what 2 Corinthians 11 and 14 says. And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. All right, y'all, let's get into it. All right, welcome back, Chainbreakers. So not the female narcissist. No, that's not the one we want. We're talking about that tomorrow. Narcissists are shapeshifters. And that was a good thing. Okay, so tomorrow I'm going to be talking about the dangers of the female narcissist, Sunday at 6 p.m. CST, all right? But today we're talking about how the narcissists are shapeshifters. All right, so I can't remember who it was that asked about this in the live. Thank you, and I've done different messages on TikTok and other places about the black eyes, about, you know, being evil up front, and that is what this is, all right? Because we know that Satan masquerades, and that's what his minions do, all right? This is exactly what they do. All right, so for those of you who are just joining for the first time, I am Shannon Savoy, speaker, advocate, and survivor of domestic violence and narcissist abuse. I am the CEO of Narc Free Living. All right, and here I speak on narcissist abuse and spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective. All right, I help to empower others and navigate the way out of abusive, dysfunctional situations and relationships according to practical strategies and God's word. All right, so here we are.
Okay, so let me pause right there because I know for my audience, you know what I'm saying, not a lot of people who may go to church or anything like that. This audience is more spiritual. But I do want to connect the dots and let you guys know, you know, if you are listening, you know, just take the Bible out of it. You know what I'm saying? Just listen to the deeper message. I am going to continue to play it because I have learned. I even listen to T.D. Jakes even sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Just sometimes now. You know, not when they are, you know, kind of striking that sword. You know what I'm saying? But I've learned to not dismiss. Okay, not dismiss the messenger. You know what I'm saying? It may be somebody that's struggling who may listen that, you know, is biblical. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only way that they understand it. Okay, so for my audience, guys, excuse me, I'm going to continue to play this because the underlining message, okay, in it may be touching for someone, okay?
Breaking the chains of narcissist abuse. All right, so if it is your first time here, welcome, welcome. If you are part of the Chainbreaker family, welcome. All right, we're all family now. So go ahead and hit that like button, Chainbreakers, all right, whether it's your first time or your 50th time, all right, go ahead and hit that like button, all right. This helps the message get out. You know, we're breaking chains. We're spreading the gospel here, all right. We want the captives free. That is our mission. Christ told us to go out, make fishers of men. He also told us to heal and deliver the sick. That is our mission. That is what we're supposed to do. We are apostles for Christ, all right? And don't forget to follow Narc Free Living on Clubhouse, TikTok, Facebook, IG, Twitter, wherever you reside, all right? On Tuesday, we'll be on Clubhouse, and I'm going to be shifting some things around, so bear with me, all right? But for the time being, I'm still on Clubhouse every Tuesday, me and awesome group of women, all right? So you can find us there, all right? And if you need an invite, let us know, all right? And don't forget to follow the Narcissist Abuse Healing Club, or you can find, if you're on Clubhouse, go to @free Narcissist Living LLC. My name will come up, all right? And then don't forget to follow my list, you know. Heal Live today is Friday. I'll be releasing this on Saturday, but for those of you who want to hear narcissist abuse from a male perspective, please join him, follow him, head on over there. And then don't forget that you can always book a life, a narcissist abuse recovery session with me, okay? All right, so let's go ahead and get into this message. All right, so narcissists are shapeshifters, chameleons, y'all. They are transformers. You know, I call them Decepticons, all right? And of course, narcissism is on the spectrum, so some are much less on the spectrum and some are much more, you know. But nonetheless, it's still the same demonic forces, okay? So they shape-shift and transform into whoever they need to be at the time to gain narcissistic supply and acceptance from in that moment, whoever they're around. That's who they transform, they mirror, and they mimic, all right? That is their goal. So if you have ever seen the black eyes, have you seen the black eyes, all right? Have you seen them? That is usually when they are really operating in sociopathic behaviors most of the time and up, all right? Some people are narcissistic, and, you know, you have different scales of demons, but those black eyes can manifest at any time, all right? But the coverts usually do a better job at hiding that. Usually the overt ones I found that you will see the black eyes with, okay? And those are those demons manifesting through in their bodies, all right? And usually you'll see that during their bouts of rage, you know, that is simply demons manifesting, all right? So, and another thing, narcissists will get usually quiet Oh, when that narcissist is quiet, right before they're manifesting, you see those demons. When those demons get quiet, they are plotting, planning, and scheming on you or somebody else because they're very vengeful. They're very, they always want revenge. And the way their minds work, anything that anyone does to them, they simply put it away for a time when they can use it to their benefit. So if you've gotten back with a narcissist and you think that all is well and that all is forgotten and you both are you know, riding into the sunset, think again, my dear. All right, get out and get away. These demons are scheming, planning, plotting on you or someone else. All right, so get out of that situation. I'm not even, you know, we can't play with that. All right, so they form identity theft. And of course, identity theft is kind of like a broad term that applies anytime someone steals your information, your vital information in the financial world. People will do your social security number. They will try to, have access to your finances and swindle your finances. All right, but the narcissists, they commit identity theft in the spirit. All right, they mirror, they copy you. They are emotional vampires. Don't you know that? They are emotional vampires. They are not, can't feel that empathy like we feel it. Simply can't. So you'll find yourself telling them the same things over and over. You find yourself crying to them, wondering why they just simply can't change, wondering why they simply cannot, like, hear what you are saying. That part of their brain is shut off, okay? They're not able to reason with you. All right, they lack the communication skills, they lack the empathy because you simply don't care. And yes, they are doing this on purpose. And you know, some people will say, oh, well, the narcissist does not know what they're doing. I disagree with that. Yes, it becomes a subconscious part of who they are, and they act this way out of instinct. They act this way out of their predatory nature, once those demonic forces.
Sorry, y'all, having issues at the moment. Forgive me.
I gotta find peace of mind. See, this is what that voice in your head says when you try to get peace of mind. I gotta find peace of mind. I gotta find peace of mind. He says it's impossible, but I know it's possible. He says it's impossible, but I know it's possible. He says there's no me without him. Please help me forget about him. He takes all my energy, trapped in my memory, constantly holding me, constantly holding me. I need to tell you all the pain he's caused. Mm-hmm. I need to tell you why I'm undone, because he says it's impossible, but I know it's possible. He says it's impossible without him, but I know it's possible. Not based on ownership. I trust every part of you, 'cause all that you say you do. You love me despite myself. Sometimes I fight myself. I just can't believe that you would have anything to do with someone so insecure, someone so immature. Oh, you inspire me to be the higher me. You make my desire pure. You make my desire pure. Just tell me what to say. I can't find the words to say. Please don't be mad with me. I have no identity. All that I've known is gone. All I was building on. I want to walk with you. How do I talk to you? Touch my mouth with your hands. Touch my mouth with your hands. Oh, I want to understand the meaning of your embrace. I know now I have to face the temptations of my past. Please don't let me disgrace. life to get another chance, yeah. Every day's another chance to get it right this time. Every day's another chance. Oh, what a merciful, merciful, merciful God. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. What merciful, 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 merciful. What a wonderful, 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 merciful. Merciful, merciful, wonderful. Merciful, wonderful.
You guys, thank you for that. I do apologize for that, guys. Sometimes we have technical difficulties when it comes to the wallet, but man, we was flowing, wasn't we? We was flowing into that thing. I like her. So let's jump right back into it. I'll jump back into spiritual emotional vampires. There we go.
Emotional vampires. They feed off of empaths and other people's emotions to gain narcissistic supply. All right, they themselves, their empathy is gone, both in spirit and from a psychological perspective. That empathy, that part of the brain is stunted. All right, so a sadist is a person who derives pleasure, especially sexual gratification, but it can be anything. From inflicting pain and humiliation onto others. Do you know that narcissists, when they love to inflict pain on you, they love to see you groveling. They love to see you begging and pleading for their love and their time and their attention, all right? They absolutely will. But somebody who enjoys seeing your pain, and that was a thing that was so confusing to me about my ex and my family. I would be like, I'm in pain. I'm trying to explain to you. I'm trying to communicate how things that are bothering me, think in ways that you are hurting me. And then narcissists, they don't understand. When you find yourself explaining basic human decency and explaining your point of view over and over to someone, over and over, and they just don't get it, that is a red flag, okay? You might be messing with a sadist. You might be involved with somebody who has low emotional intelligence. All right, that is unable to comprehend. And if you keep trying to get them to comprehend, you will drive yourself crazy. Narcissists have that spirit of insanity inside of them. That is their goal, is to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't care if you married the narcissist and you married the demonic assignment and now you're in love, all right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Their goal is still the same. They don't change because you're in love, and your love will not change the narcissist. All right, they are shapeshifters. They simply came in and mirrored all of the good qualities back to you. You thought you had a soulmate. You thought you had a friend, all right, but you didn't, all right? You thought you had a spouse. You thought you had a lifelong partner. You thought you had a business partner, all right? You thought you had someone that you can confide in. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. They just took the very best parts of you and projected it and mirrored it back to you, all right? So they definitely morph into whoever they need to be in order to fit in with their current target and environment, all right? They absolutely do. They are parasitic, all right? They need a host. Think of them, they're like a roach or a bug or a leech or a demon in any way that you explain it, all right? any way, any term that you choose to examine it from a scientific standpoint, from a physiological standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, from an emotional and spiritual standpoint, no matter how you want to look at it, all right, they are leeches. They latch on to you. And if you examine your relationship, you will find out that you carry them the majority of the relationship. Oh, yes, they threw some breadcrumbs at you here and there, all right, because we know the empaths, unhealed empaths are starved for love and attention. And when this narcissist came along, y'all, we fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, all right? But these leeches, these demons, all right, these parasites, all right, they are slowly eating away at you, all right? They are slowly, and even the strongest woman, the strongest man, all right, can succumb to this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your titles are. It doesn't matter who you are in this world. These narcissists are observant, all right? They have predator-like senses. Y'all think narcissists don't know? Oh, they can sense, just like empaths can sense. We don't give them enough credit in this area, all right? We always say how empaths feel the temperature. Well, you have to remember that these people, too, were brought up in a narcissistic home, all right, most of the time. They were brought up in a narcissistic home, so just like the scapegoat, the golden child or whichever child they are, they were abused too. And just like the empath chose, you know, through that situation, we learned to gauge the temperature of people, you know, in order to survive. But we did it, it's both codependency, it's both coping mechanisms, it's both learning maladaptive coping mechanisms in order to survive. So in order to survive, they have to be observant because they are predators. They are on the hunt. So they have predator-like senses that enable them and attune them to when things aren't right in the house. That's why when they fear that you are leaving, if they still have a shred of respect for you, then they will say, oh, I'll go to counseling, baby. Oh, I'll do this. Oh, yeah, they'll ask right for a very short period of time. But before you know it, you give them an inch and a half, they are going to take a mile and then some. You give them a whole lot, they're going to give you a whole little, all right? So they are absolutely observant. They know they know when to check the temperature in the room, and they have those demonic spirits that enable them to do this. How many of y'all know that these narcissistic demons that are those demons, that legion, all the demons that are inside of them are working against you? They are feeding them information, all right? That's what divination and witchcraft is. It is getting power from alternative sources that are not of God, all right? And that's what the narcissist does. Do you think when they tell you something that those words are coming from God? How can they? So they are manipulating you they're manipulating you through witchcraft and through sorcery and through divination. They absolutely are, okay? So you can see that. They don't know who they are. Narcissists do not know who they are. They don't know. They have no true sense of self. They are a conglomerate. They are a puzzle piece. They are a mosaic of different and different experiences and different people that they have come in contact with. Excuse me. That they have come in contact with, and they simply formed a puzzle and an image of a false self. All right, or of a self that really doesn't exist. All right, there's the true self they have killed off a long time ago. That true self, that little inner boy and inner girl, they won't go back to heal their inner boy and their inner child, their inner girl. So they've learned to take on those maladaptive coping mechanisms in order to survive, okay? So that's why when you heal, you're going to have to go back and get your inner child and your inner self, all right, your little boy and your little girl, you're going to have to go back and heal that person, all right? Or if you narcissist, you can, empaths can turn narcissistic, y'all. I've seen it. I've seen where somebody was empathic and they stayed around a narcissist too long and those spirits start to affect them as well. Have you ever seen an empath become a narcissist or have high narcissistic traits? That is why, and any of us are subject to that. Don't sit here and act like you can't. You can't. That's why some of y'all are narcissistic right now. Some of y'all are so angry and so bitter and so rage-filled and so wrath-filled. You're so mad at that narcissist, but you're really mad at yourself for what the narcissist did to you. and for not walking away when you should have walked away. All right, and that's not to blame, but that's you taking on narcissistic traits. Yes, you have. All right, so I've seen it. Talk to people who are filled with narcissistic traits, and they can't see. All they want to talk about is the narcissist. They cannot see how what the things that they are doing to affect the situation. They are their own worst enemy. That's what a narcissist is. So you have to go back and you have to heal that inner child inside of you. You have to go back and hold those inner child by the hand and say, I have you. I'm going to face this pain. I'm going to face this trauma. I'm going to block my narcissistic parent. I'm going to do these things in order to protect you. Your inner child feels unprotected. And when your inner child feels unprotected, you resort to coping mechanisms. You resort to codependency. You resort to drugs and alcohol and men and women, and you medicate, you self-medicate with people. I have to have people around you at all times. All right, God wants to take you through that wilderness. That is what that season is for. But if you can't be with yourself long enough so that God can prune you, you're just going to go back into another narcissistic relationship. All right? So you, empath, yes you, yes me, yes us, we have to sit with God. So he can prune us from the inside out, okay? Because in that time we've learned narcissistic traits from being around narcissistic parents. You think there's not going to be any residue on you, and you grew up in a house for 18, 19, 20 years. Some of y'all 30 years still live with the parents. Still under mama's breath. You know what I mean? So you think that there's still not going to be residue on you. So that's why it's so important to allow God to clean you up so he can make you good as new. Feel the potter wants to put you back together again, all right? So a shapeshifter, all right? And whoever they are at the moment, at the time, is whoever they're going to shapeshift into, all right? I've seen narcissists who were street thugs and whoever, they turn into preachers overnight. You know, they just put off one coat, one thing, and they just go, you know, because in the pulpit, I don't know if they do background checks. I don't know what they do in the church now, some of them, all right? And they just disguise themselves. You know, it's no turning away. It's no repentance. They've simply chosen another hustle. They've seen that they've gone from drug dealers and different occupations, whether it's white collar, whatever type of crime they're in, and being a preacher is a lucrative field, you know, for a narcissist. You know, it absolutely is. All you got to do is come in there with a gift of gab. All you have to do is come in there with charm and that Delilah and that Jezebel spirit and that Leviathan spirit and that Python spirit, and you're able to pull yourself around those members because they don't know any better. All right, and before you know it, that congregation is filled with witchcraft. All right, it's filled with demonic forces, and then you wonder why you can't get away. You wonder why your church seems like a cult. All right, you're wondering why things are going wrong in your life, all right, overwhelmingly. When there's one thing, there's another. When there's this, there's that, all right? So they simply have picked up and chosen to choose. They choose professions and careers that they know that they can have maximum impact on people, all right? Now, you know, the low level ones, some of them never finished high school. Some of them, you know, it is what it is. You know, but a lot of them will choose doctors. A lot of them will choose lawyers. A lot of them will choose teachers, especially females, women narcissists. They love being teachers. That way they can inflict them at a young age, and they can traumatize you. You know, that teacher that told you wasn't going to never be anything, she might have been a narcissist. How would you tell a child that? How could that even come out of your mouth? And they want you to come out of agreement with it, all right? Now you've come into agreement. You think that you're not going to be anything. All right, you think that you're not going to be anything because Mrs. Smith in second grade said that you couldn't read, that everybody in the classroom laughed at you, and you didn't read the sentence right. Now that's stuck in your subconscious mind, and you think that you are stupid. You think that you are dumb, but you are not dumb. And you tell Mrs. Smith in your mind that, Mrs. Smith, you know what you can do. No, let me not do that. You know, I rebuke your words. There we go. See, that's what someone rose up. You know, yeah, I got crucified. But you gotta let Miss Smith and the work curses that she tried to speak over your life, you rebuke those in the name of Jesus. You renounce them and you come out of agreement with that stuff. All right? Absolutely. Those preachers, those teachers, whatever position that they go into, it is for a good reason, or sometimes it's just what they can get. Some of them just aren't very smart book-wise, but they can run circles around you psychologically and emotionally. I've seen even people in my family have master's degrees get ran circles around by a narcissist who never completed 10th grade, all right? I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. These narcissists will run. I've seen women have PhDs get ran circles around by a narcissist who barely finished high school. Mm-hmm. All right, so don't think that you can't be ran circles around. Well, we've seen that because we're part of the Chain Breaker family. So these people are very cunning. All right, but that's no slight against you. It's just a testament to how good they are at what they do. They've had a lifetime of perfecting this. All right, okay. So you will see the black eyes. Some of them. Some people have said they've seen the red eyes. Usually that's a higher principality, okay? But they are demonic any way you look at it. And they have a situation they need to fit in at the time. How many of y'all have seen X-Men? And you've seen Mystique. And you've seen how Mystique can just transform, all right? Terminator, same way. You know, they just have somebody lock their mind who they want to transform into. And that's the same thing that narcissists do, all right? Some people will change some of these narcissists will change their whole persona when dating, all right? They'll morph into whoever they need to be, all right? So all they do is study you. They've been studying you for some time before they actually come up to you, all right? Most of them. Now, some of you will bump into them and then they lock on you, but best believe they're going to go back and they're going to learn things about you. That's why you have to let them do the talking. Because the narcissist, you know, when you go on dates and when you meet people, a lot of times we do all the talking because we're just so happy to have somebody to talk with as empaths, all right? But let people do the talking when you first meet them, and they'll tell you who they are, all right? They'll begin to tell you who they are in different ways, all right? And that narcissist, whatever you told them, whatever you showed them in their relationship, they're simply now going to regurgitate that and pass it off on their own. Yes, they will. They're going to mimic your mannerism, all right? They're very observant, all right? They're always watching you. That's those monitoring hubristas. They're always trying to watch you, all right? The only time they won't do that is when they are up under the new supply, but usually they'll still watch you. They'll still watch you because you're still their property in their minds, okay? So I remember, I think just last week, I saw an episode of Dateline. And this lady was I don't know if she was a psychopath or a sociopath. She was one of them for sure. And do you know this lady, they worked at this place, this place for teenagers. They love working around teenagers, okay? Working around teenagers or they had like kind of gone the wrong way and they were like a boot camp like atmosphere. You have seen that episode. And she was interested in this guy. You know, they when in a workplace, all they do is try to find them a work husband or a work spouse, somebody that they can latch onto in the office and provide emotional support for. All right. But the guy that she was interested in was a cowboy. So what did she do? What did she do, y'all? Started to wear cowboy gear. All right. So she had on cowboy gear, started wearing hair in different ways to attract this man who was a cowboy. All right. He was a cowboy. And he had long been, you know, a cowboy, but here she comes. She started to mimic him to draw him in to her web of deceit, all right, just like Charlotte's with you, you know, that web, that black widow, all right. And then eventually she started putting, she had a I Heart Cowboy bumper sticker on her car, all right. But what's that didn't work. So that didn't work with this. So the next man that she honed in on, Mystique. She simply put in her bag. This one was a Christian. This one was a believer. He went to church. He prayed. He was a praying man. So what did she do? Oh, now I got to study the Bible. Satan knows the Bible. All right? Satan knows the Bible, and he's going to use it against you. All right? So she started quoting the Bible, claiming to be, when they interviewed her for in her, when they took you down to the station and everything, she was like, yes, I'm prophetic. You know, me and my husband were prophetic. Not a tear shed for her husband. She ended up marrying a man. Excuse me, and he ended up passing away. And he ended up being killed by drinking cyanide or antifreeze. So But once you know a narcissist is a narcissist, and I'm going to do a message on that, and sometimes, once you know they're a narcissist, don't you have them fixing your food? Do you hear me? Don't you fix? No. Throw it in the trash, put it in some napkins, it is whatever you need to do, okay? Whatever you need to do, all right? Don't eat it, don't fix that stuff. And I thought about it like times my ex would like fix me tea after I drink tea every in the morning, or protein shakes. I used to drink a lot of protein shakes, and he would make it. Now I'm thinking like I don't trust them as far as I can see them, all right? Because they will try to poison you, all right? But this lady, she started, you know, quoting the Bible, and then the next day she came in with a fish bumper sticker. So that's all they do. That's all they do because they have no authentic self. They are emotionally, psychologically stunted. They have made a deal with the devil, all right, for that devil to protect their inner child, and made an agreement about a vow that whatever happened to them when they were little, they won't be treated like they again. So they have a get you mentality. All right, they will get you before you get them. So a new relationship simply means a new identity. That's why they're so happy in the beginning when they meet you. And now they get to study you, and they get to take on your identity, all right? Whatever it is that you show them, whatever it is that they simply get to take that now, and now they get to be that with somebody else, all right? They get to show all the things that you've shown them. They're just going to simply pass that off as their own ideas, okay? So this is why they must break you down, all right? They plan on taking your identity. They plan on taking the best parts of you to draw in the new supply. All they do is simply, oh, this is empathy. They have cognitive empathy, all right? They have a sense of, especially covert narcissists, they know what empathy looks like. They don't really know what it feels like. They know, oh, I need to cry at this time. This is a sad. They know how to read the room. All right, they know how to read the room, all right? So they plan on breaking you down. That is why they do that, so they can steal your identity. And all they do is, like, if you could see the transference in the spirit, this person will be here, you will be here, this person is, like, taking your breath away. I remember the scene in a movie, I forgot what it was called, Cat's Eye or something like that, with Drew Barrymore, and I saw how that cat was sucking in that baby's breath, that breath. And some say they're trying to get the milk. Some say it's more spiritual and demonic than that. Whatever case it is, that's what that narcissist is doing to you, all right? They're trying to siphon your – then they add your personality. They've forgotten about you. They've discarded you until it's time to come back in here with you, all right? So they simply add your personality and your qualities to their bag of souls, all right? Their lives are a conundrum of make-believe and pretentiousness. All right, they draw you in with their false image, the false image that is made up of people that they have already done wrong in their past. So when they come to you telling you everything that their ex did, and they're forming that trauma bond with you, they're simply telling you everything that they did to their to their ex and worse, all right? So they draw you into their fake world of make-believe by playing on your emotions, all right? And they introduce that fear, that obligation, that guilt. And now you feel responsible for somebody that you don't even, that you barely even know. And now you're trauma bonded, and it's too hard to get out. You're in too deep, all right? So they mirror your personality. They're going to go to every restaurant that you went to. They're going to give the gifts that you gave. They're going to tell the new supply all the things that you showed them. They are essentially taking you, your personality, and morphing it into the best part of you before they broke you down. You know, and that's sad. That's sad. So they add your personality and your spirit that they siphoned out of you and your qualities to their bag of souls. And when they meet someone like you, their brains compute and they go in to pull out the personality that is needed to get the job done. Ooh, and that's the whatever personality they need, all right, to their tool bag, all right? So it's friends, you got to test everybody's spirit, all right? And let's be honest about this thing. If you're being totally honest, that narcissist, that person had no business being in your friend circle. All right? That person, the narcissist, had no business being in your life. You were much too good for that narcissist, truth be told. All right? There was something about this person that was off. One of these things was not like the other, especially in narcissistic friendships. you'll find yourself attracted to people who are wounded because you are a natural healer. Empaths are natural healers, but you got to get away from birth and bird syndrome. Everybody is not your assignment, all right? We were taught to give everybody a chance, but this person is not on your level. I don't care if they're famous. I don't care if they have more money. I don't care what it is in the spirit. They were not on your level, and you had to stoop down off of your level in order to play with the pigs that are in the mud, all right? You try to clean that pig up, and you try to pray for it and put clothes on it and put pearls on the pig, and you think if you put pearls on a pig, you're still a pig. You can put lipstick on it. You can put all the things you want to. It's still going to be a pig, all right? And then if it's a friend, that person will invade your circle. They simply shape-shifted and took all the things that you said and poured into them, all right? And they started observing you. And they're picking up on the things that you do, all right? And they won't give you any credit once they start mimicking you. They'll pretend like they don't see what you've done, all right? And they flatter you with that lying tongue, all right? And I've even seen a lot of these people, they'll come into, because this is a Christian circle, all right, a Christ-following circle. But they're not really a believer, all right? Not really, but they mimic you, and they get into your circle, and they see the way that your circle acts and talks, chime in. And you can tell something is not right with this person, all right? But this person invades your circle off the strength of your name and your credibility by shape-shifting. They know it, you know it, but now you can't say anything because you may look crazy. This is exactly what they want, all right? So if something seems off, pay attention. I don't care if you have no aha moment, no Spectre Gadget moment, no Sherlock Holmes moment. You may not have that moment, but you feel something is off on the inside. And you can see how their relationship has ended in a whirlwind of chaos and confusion, all right? So if a narcissist is cheating, sometimes you'll notice the things that they do. You'll see that they are drastically into brand new things. They start to do 180s in their and the way that they are moving and the way they start wearing different cologne and perfume and wearing their hair different when they go to work and doing different things. Take notice, all right? They're going to seem more offbeat, all right? They're going to seem more offbeat because they are wooing and getting narcissistic supply from a new source, all right? Just think of how they were with you. They were walking on clouds, all right? You both were, all right? So while they're wooing their new supply, if you're married, while they're wooing this new supply, sometimes some of them will bring gifts to you. Some of them, they just won't pay any attention to you. You know something is off, all right? And some people, they'll be blindsided. It'll catch you off guard because you think that this person is pouring their all into the relationship. No, they're just high off of their new supply right now, all right? And you're thinking, oh, yeah, we're working on our relationship. They do love me. They want to go to counseling. Like, this is worth it. No, your supply is stale to them. Now they have fresh new supply from somebody who doesn't know who they are. So they simply found another victim to shapeshift into. All right, you are old news. They've already siphoned your spirit. You're a nag. They're bored with you. You're unhappy. And the narc can't be around somebody who is just as dull and unhappy as they are. They've already siphoned your spirit. What good are you? So that's why I said when they break you down, that is a dangerous time to stay around them. So they broke you down and they took care of you. You're like a rag doll. They just pick you up and toss you around, all right? So now they are skipping away because they siphoned your spirit, and now they found a new victim, all right, to siphon their spirit off of. And that future narcissist victim, he or she is just in training. They are a narcissist abuse survivor in training. They are a victim in training, all right? They're going to be where you are. They are. They're going to be worse because narcissists get worse. They don't get better. Who has seen a narcissist get better? So why would you say, this is what bothers my mind? Once you come into the revelation of what you're dealing with, how do you stay? How do you resign that in your mind? Okay, finances, yes, God is Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. But some of you have the resources and you stay. If you think that your narcissist, the narcissist that you are with, is going to be the one to break the mold, whew, my dear. All right, so now they are studying the new person, coming up with all the things they supposedly have in common. Some of them pick up new accents, new mannerisms, new personalities, new dress, new total look. All right, and if you notice, these people really aren't deep at all. everything within the surface level, unless they're cerebral, not they'll try to be sound like they're intelligent. Like some of them are legit almost brainless, some of them. Now others, psychopaths are a different thing, okay? All right? So some of them have perfected someone else's personality entirely, all right? No opinion unless someone gives it to them. No critical skills, no critical thinking skills. Psychopaths are a different breed, all right? But this is the real deal. So now they must convince you that the person you saw when they shape shifted and as soon as manifested is not really them, all right? They just had a bad day. They were just tired. You did this. You did this. You did that to them. No, they're just evil, all right? They have a pattern of exploitative, manipulative behaviors. This is how they get through life. Narcissists are not good people. They are inherently evil people with periods of calculated niceness. As soon as they have you hooked or you are trauma bonded to them, all right, that's to say you are trauma bonded to them, you know, you see their true evil demonic personality. That person, that cold, heartless person, that person that gives you the silent treatment, that's the real deal. That person with the black eyes, I've seen the black eyes. I've felt the coldness. I've seen the demons shapeshift and come out and that evil spew out of their mouths. I've seen that up front, all right? So I don't care who you saw in the beginning. Put that cognitive dissonance out of your mind. Who you saw is who they are. Don't gaslight yourself. All right, don't allow the soul ties and the trauma bond and Stockholm syndrome to keep you tied to a narcissistic abuser. All right, and even in a narc family, looking back, I was the one that was putting together get-togethers and family parties. I was the event planner, throwing big parties for these people. All right, now I'm sure they've stolen every idea and acting as if these were their own. That's what they do. I felt the sociopathic demon thing. And do you know, when I went, okay, so the car I have now, before that I was looking at a Porsche Panamera, all right? I was looking at a Porsche Panamera in my car, but I looked at the maintenance on the Porsche Panamera, and it was, I didn't want to pay that much, you know what I mean? If something were to happen, if I was to keep it, all right? So I would be pouring more money out, all right? So do you know, this fool went and bought the same car, his ex told me, that he had a Porsche Panamera. He had never talked, he was not even... This joker couldn't sell Porsche Panamera. All right.
Okay.
But he went and bought that same car. They have no original idea. All right. And that car is probably repossessed or something by now. But they have no originality. All right. They have none. So they perform that narcissistic transference onto you, witchcraft, seducing spirits. They take your personality and they give you theirs. You start to become depressed. Sad. You take on their emotions and their deeds because now you are connected to them, all right? So that's why no contact is so important, all right? No contact is so important. You are shedding away those narcissistic traits. You are shedding the person that tolerated those things from this person, all right? You are coming out of a fog. It's not to get back at them, all right? You need to be alone. And some of you can't be alone to save your life. That's going to hurt you. You need to be, the wilderness is needed. It will seem like nothing is happening, like your life is standing still. But this is a time that you need, all right? So for narcissists, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. It's just another day at the office. When you see those black eyes, their demons just rose up and showed you who they were, all right? Now I thank God for me seeing that. I thank God at the time, I was like, what in the world is this, all right? But for them, it's nothing, for them, it's nothing personal, all right? It's easy for them to do the things that they do, withholding affection, withholding attention, withholding is a power move. No love, caring, no affection, no meaningful conversation, all right? And for those of you with the narcissist, you know you feel something is missing in that friendship or that relationship or partnership. Be honest with yourself. All right, there's no depth, no true dialogue, no true agape love, all right? So they are evil. They are not good people. They absolutely are not, all right? And when you see the narcissistic ways, it simply means their demons are manifested. They have performed narcissistic transference onto you if you allow yourself to not go no contact and stay in contact with these people. The enemy uses your emotions, seduction, witchcraft, and trauma to break your spirit. All right? So how do you recover? How do you recover? And I'm wrapping up. Stop trying to save someone who doesn't want to be saved. It's not your assignment. It's not. Mark and avoid them. Get far away from them. All right? And then take notice of people, of those who want you to say to unrepentant believers. Remember, Joseph tested his brother's spirit before he blessed them. Some people will want you to, oh, well, if you're not supposed to honor your mother and father, yes, honor them from a distance. All right? Honor them from a distance. Take notice. All right? They are speaking from their own trauma, their insecurity and ability to cut ties. All right? You go to the Holy Spirit, and he'll show you what to do. All right? Narc sympathizers are dangerous. All right? And a narcissist is also dangerous to your destiny. All right? God's word says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and unrighteousness or wickedness have in common? What fellowship does light have with darkness? All right? Stay away from these foul people. All right? You're not the demon whisperer. It's not your job to save them. They must want to be saved on their own. All right? And then God tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee. All right? A narcissist needs a willing victim, someone to transform themselves into, just like Satan decided Eve was going to be his victim in the Garden of Eden. All right? All right? But you can't resist the devil if you're in bed with him, if you're in bed with her. All right? If your soul tied to them, it's going to be hard for you to resist them. All right? You have the authority, but they must trick you, feed you into giving up your power. The world deceives in plain sight, y'all. All right? There are certain laws that even evil must follow. Have you noticed that? If you live outside of the matrix, you know that there's symbolism, that there are certain things that the demonic does, all right, that they tell on themselves. They hide in plain sight. And this is what a narcissist does. They're taunting you. They're letting you know that I can do this and you still will keep me around. I can show you who I really am and you still will stick around. That gives them power, y'all. You're not doing them any favors. All right? Allow natural laws to take effect. All right? So when you are a victim of narcissist abuse, you give up your power to a demon. They trick you, bamboozle you, and latch onto you as their source. They need you. You don't need them. You are the source. You are the host. Are you ready to stop being the narcissist's supply? That is a choice only you can make. All right? The sooner you see them for what they are, forgive yourself. All right? And do everything that you can to break the length of the chain. All right? Break those chains. All right? You have the authority. You have the authority in Jesus' name. You absolutely do. They are not your soulmate unless you're a demon too. Are you a demon? That's the only way you can be a demon soulmate. All right? They are demonized, some more, some less. They are the run-of-the-mill, hate-filled, shame-filled, unhappy, jealous, pitiful, can't get right, empty shell, great value, knockoff version of you and everybody else they have come in contact with. All right, Legion, Jezebel, Leviathan, Python, they are a Molotov cocktail of demonic spirits. You keep playing with fire, you're going to get burned. So the black eyes, the shape-shifting, all of that, that is not of God, okay? So go into spiritual warfare around your house. Don't tell the narcissist any of your plans. Don't go back into the devil's being male, female, whatever, all right? It takes an average person about approximately 7 times to leave an abuser. That is a sign of an ungodly soul tie and a trauma bond and Stockholm syndrome. Sever those soul ties, all right? Sever those soul ties, okay? All right, so let me see another scripture. So remember, God's going to be with you. Isaiah 43 says, but now, this is what the Lord says. He created you, O Jacob. He formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. All right?
All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and
stop it right there, guys. You know, to my audience, a lot of us are spiritual, so, but I do want to let you know that even the biblical text is sometimes the scriptures, you know, we can always take it and, you know, pretty much decode it, if you will, into what we and what we interpret it to be, right? So that's another great way. But that was great, you guys. I was not expecting, because again, guys, I did. I feel that she was good because she was speaking from experience, right? She was speaking from experience, you know, the dude, her dude, she used the car example about the Porsche, and he went and got him a Porsche, and it reminded me of one of my exes, you know, a few of them, guys. I have been around that personality trait my whole life, you know. I grew up in it, so I know firsthand also what this is about, and I also know about breaking free, you know what I'm saying, breaking free, you know, just really cutting off the supply, basically, you know, and if you are in the company of those people, and they do nothing but seek on, only want to suck on you, you know, and this is where we cut off the supply. And, you know, strong boundaries, guys. Strong boundaries to protect yourself, to protect your energy. And I mean on a spiritual level, even on a physical level as well, because some of them go to the extreme as wanting to physically harm you when you no longer, when you no longer comply to their gain. Okay? So it really goes back to something I've also been talking about, and I may directly come back and talk about it as well, but mental illness, guys. It brings you back to mental illness, and it's very important, especially in the golden community, because we're moving past black, right? But the golden people, and, you know, just really anybody, because healing is for anybody. Let me just say that. But I love that, guys. And always remember, my video credits will be in the show notes, guys. So please go like and subscribe to her channel. It's NARC Free Living, all right? So NARC, N-A-R-C, Free in Living, all right? That is her YouTube channel, guys. And I do not own a copyright to any of the video credits. But yeah, though, that she's amazing. She has, I'm looking on her channel now, guys, but yeah, I would definitely probably be bringing some of her material on to kind of decode, you know, in our way as far as how we understand on Motivational Classroom, right? So yes, guys, just be aware. As Erykah Badu said, it's one thing to know, but to be aware, you know, and to be aware about, most importantly, the accountability of what parts of us, you know, that have a benefit if we choose to keep this type of energy around us. What is the cost benefit? You know what I mean? And if the cost is too much, guys, that may be an indication to set heavy and healthy boundaries. All right, guys, this has been great. I love this podcast. Yes. All right, guys, join me every weekend. Not giving us the city time anymore because I just come on when I come on. It's going to be the a.m. hours, though. Let me just say that. The a.m. hours before noon, okay? I do the podcast, guys, but love you to life, guys. Remember to speak life, royalty, royalty, royalty. Until next time.
Yo, we about to get this one right. We about to do this one. All the kids, mothers, brothers, and sisters. You know the regular.
that everything is everything. Everything is everything. Everything is everything. Everything. After winter, what comes spring? Everything is everything.
Philosophy possibly become drums at the Cineon Street Baptist, Baptist and violinist from the beginning. My practice extending across the atlas. I be at this, flipping in together on the dirty mattress. You can't match this. Rapper slash actress, more powerful than two Cleopatras. Bomb graffiti on the tomb of Nefertiti. And please ain't ready to take it to the Serengeti. My rhymes is heavy like the mind of Sister Betty. Hell boogie spars with stars and constellations. Then came down for a little conversation. Adjacent to the king, fear no human being. Roll with cherubims to that star coliseum. Now hear this mixture, where hip-hop meets scripture. Develop a negative into a positive picture.
Now everything,
everything
is everything. Sometimes it seems, we'll touch it.